Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to just take time to thank God for another day. I believe I have on the line Sheila G. You on the line, Sheila G?
Yes, I am.
My big sister, and also Dr. G, you on the line?
We're here.
My good friend and mentor, how you guys doing?
We're doing well.
We're doing well.
How's Miss Jessie down in VA?
She's doing good.
Amen. Amen. Glad to hear it. I know God is continuing to bless. I know when she was first born, there was a great, great challenge to get her to this point. So I just thank God and I commend you all for the untireless work that you've done to get her to this point. It's truly, you look back over your life and say, wow, look what God has done. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. In some ways, it reminds her beginning, reminds me of your beginning. And look at you now and look at her now.
Yeah.
Both of you all. Really serious health struggles in the beginning of your lives.
Yeah, God, when he says that he is the author and finisher of our faith, truly he's true to his word, because sometimes some of those chapters in our lives are a little rough, but God will bring us through. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And, Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are continuing in the book of Matthew in the 22nd chapter. And on last Thursday, we were talking about the parable of the wedding banquet and how the parallel of earthly kingdom compared to the kingdom of a heavenly kingdom, and how there was an invitation going out and people rejected the invitation of the king, and how it's so important for us to realize that in ministry,
that there are going to be people that are going to reject the good news. And eventually there's going to come time where they will no longer be able to receive the kingdom. But that doesn't negate the fact that we still have to go out and compel men and women to come to the kingdom. So that was a good lesson on last week. You know, this week we are looking at just some of the Pharisees and the religious leaders that are trying to distract from the message of God. And we see in the verses, Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22, and also 22 through 33, how the religious leaders are trying to throw Jesus off track and trying to question who he is. And, you know, I like these parables, Sheila Jean, Dr. G, that, and these stories that God puts in the Bible, because it helps us to understand that if people are going to try to take Jesus off his game, then, you know, he's the enemy is going to try to take us off our game. And we shouldn't be surprised that they're going to try to come against just the basic things that we do in life. It's amazing how truly there is nothing new under the sun, and how people try to complicate things in order to take I call it their modus operandi, to try to get, you know, what they want. And, you know, you still have that going on today where people try to manipulate the word of God. You have people in the ministry try to manipulate each other and so that they can get what they want. But the thing that I like is that if you stick to the word of God, you don't have to make this a complicated thing. You stick to the word of God, the word of God will prove itself out, and you can stand on the word of God, Sheila G.
Amen. I think that sometimes we box the word of God out through tradition, you know, especially in the church. It's like we have to do this a certain way and do that a certain way. And by doing that, that's how we end up letting the enemy in, because our focus isn't on God. Our focus is on what we should feel, what we feel the structure should be, or how certain things should be. And then we don't realize when the devil will just throw stuff out our way and throw us off our game. But it's because we open that door, and that's why, like you said, we have to stand on God's word. And what God wants us to do doesn't always make sense.
Nope.
So it's not always logical. And sometimes we want to say, well, I'm not feeling that, or I don't believe that, or I have to see that. But God doesn't want us to see that.
Amen.
And the
more we
allow that type of spirit to come in of, I need to see that, or I don't see what that vision is, or I don't see that, the more the enemy's like, oh, okay, there's doubt in there. And he will use those around us and closest to us to knock us off our game. So we do have to stand on God's word and not be so caught up in what we see or what traditionally has been done, particularly in the religious community.
Mm-hmm. And let's pick up that verse 15, Dr. G, where it says, this is Matthew 22, verse 15, and I'll read from the King James. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus is line by line, precept by precept, exposing these religious leaders for who they are, and they're still trying to entangle him. And that's why I say it's so important for us, Dr. G, and I'm gonna jump to you real quick. It's so important for us to understand this, that people are always trying to use religion and things to try to tangle us up, to try to get us off message, to try to say, see, I told you, or try to say, well, that's not of God, or that's not the way it should be done. And like Sheila G was saying, as far as tradition, but we have to go into this thing knowing that someone's trying to trip us up. In other words, you've always got to keep your good eye on someone when they're trying to
from a position of leadership, manipulate the way you should go. And it's important, Dr. G, for us to understand that's why we need to know the word of God for ourselves. Because if they're trying to trip us up, whether it's with tradition, whether with rules and regulations, that we stand on this word of God, because folks will try to trip you up. They'll try to take you off your game. They'll try to get you distracted. But it's important for us to know the word of God and know it for ourselves, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right, because I was just sitting here thinking, when I first went to New Birth some 22 years ago, and the Lord revealed that very thing to me, that, you know, you're going into a situation where you had one guy who was pretty much in charge. He was leading everybody else, and everybody was following him. Now, he would walk around saying, "What saith the Lord?" You know, we've got to do what saith the Lord. But there were a lot of, so much of the word he didn't fully understand. And that goes back into tradition, what Sheila G was saying, that they were so used to doing things in one way. But he would always come back and say, "What thus saith the Lord?" And as the leader, as the pastor, new kid on the block, didn't want to ruffle any feathers, but there came a point when I did have to make a stand and confront him and let him know, well, this is what the Lord or what the Spirit is telling me at this point that I have to do. And you do have to be careful, because these so-called folk who think they know the word and they know the Bible, they forget that they have not been called to pastor or lead or whatever, so you have to be on your game.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And this Sheila G, verse 16, is caught my attention, because it lets us know that these Pharisees, religious leaders, or any group has their own disciples, their own followers, and that's where you get these cliques. And in the church, you have cliques at your job, you have cliques in your neighborhood. And so in verse 16, and I'm going to read from the King James, it says, "And they said unto him their disciples with the Herodians." And then if you go to the NIV, it says, "They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians." In other words, these were people that were religious. And they had their own doctrine, their own cult, their own occult, under the guise of being the true God. But to understand that people have their own disciples, their own followers, their own teachers that are trying to perpetrate a fraud, their own thing. And it is amazing, and I know we've been in ministry a while, you can go into any church, and you'll see that there are folks that are trying to have their own disciples in spite of the folks trying to say we all need to be disciples of Jesus. And I think that's what the enemy tries to use, Sheila G, to divide, to split the church, is to make people disciple. A disciple is a follower of a leader. And you can have a leader and you have their disciples. If we have so many disciples of different leaders in the church, what happens is you have division instead of us coming together as all being a disciple of Christ, in other words, follower of Christ. Then we could accomplish the mission of Christ. But the commission and the mission of Christ is too many times not accomplished because you got too many leaders and too many followers or disciples of those leaders that are not being followers of Christ but being followers of men, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. I've seen that firsthand, and that is one thing that will split a church, is that when all these little cliques develop, and then it's like whoever this particular leader is will draw others away, and then if they leave, they expect everybody else to leave. Yeah. But even in that, God still has the upper hand, because as I've older, and I've seen that occur in different churches and even in ours, one thing that God revealed to me is that when they get too puffed up, when they get too big, when they get too cliquish, He actually, it's not
yes,
so much they
will.
Left the church.
He will remove
he
them.
Removed them because
mm-hmm.
he sees isms and schisms, and that spirit is in there. So he works it out and removes them, and then it causes the church to have to grow and depend on each other again and come together. Because
right.
what happens is that they will become a hindrance
Amen.
To the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And once it becomes
mm-hmm.
a hindrance, God has got to move that out of the way. And that's why people need to be very careful as to who they follow, what they listen to. That's why you need
yes.
the Bible study and understand the word for themselves.
Amen. And Dr. G, I know you know this as a pastor, is that fools and those leaders of those, like the Herodians, they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection. They begin to start pinpointing different issues. And as
mm-hmm.
a pastor, I know there are certain things that people will try to hang out there as an issue and try to throw you off. They'll bring it up in church meetings, they'll bring it up in Bible study, they'll bring it up in gatherings, and they'll try to pick a specific issue to try to turn it against the leadership of the church. Say, okay, this is the issue. Well, we don't agree with this, or we don't believe this, or we don't think this, and you know, they're trying to sway others to not believe this or teach this or some kind of thing to try to sow discord. And
right.
here in this particular instance, they're using tribute money or the tax that the Jews paid to Caesar to try to throw Jesus off. So they're using a hot button topic, as the news media would say, to try to sow discord in the church. And many times people will try to use a hot button topic, whether it's should people wear hats, or should people
yeah.
wear a certain kind of clothes, or should women be allowed to stand, or should we have service at this time or that time? And they pick little hot button issues just
yeah.
to try to sow discord, to try to put the leader in a bad light, and again take the focus off of being disciples and followers of Christ. Dr. G, you follow on that?
Oh, yeah. Been there and done it. And on a number of occasions in my situation, they wanted to always call a meeting, church meeting. And the last time I actually went through that, and the Lord pretty much, he had already prepared me for it and told me what to expect. And they did their due, they did their thing, they thought that they could control me and get what they wanted. And they brought up just some stupid off-the-wall mess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I let them talk. When they would finish talking, I asked them, are y'all through? And then I told them point blank, well, it's obvious that you all want a figurehead, not a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want, then you've got the wrong person. And I told him, well, I resign. And by
mm-hmm.
the time I got out to my car, because Sheila G and I, we were going, I think it was Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we
mm-hmm.
got down, do you know the Lord had taken one of the brethren that were a part of that?
Passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away. And see, that's
Isn't
why
that
it's important for the man of God or whoever the pastor is, he's got to know when the Spirit is speaking, how he wants him to approach it,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord is not going to remove the pastor unless the pastor is not doing what he is supposed to do.
Right.
But he
Good
will
sir.
Definitely remove those cliques, those issues, those problems. And, yes, you know, the church may lose membership, it may lose money, but
mm-hmm.
you have to look at it. When God takes away,
mm-hmm.
he'll replace it
yep.
with something else.
That's right.
So
That's
I've
right.
been through it a number of times. I've seen it happen, and I've gotten
mm-hmm.
to the point now that, you know, I realize I've got to stay on course. I've got to do what the
right.
Lord tells me to do. And I'm not going to turn away because this little group over here don't like something or that
right.
little group don't like something. You have to be obedient, and it's important for us to know what God tells us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
this is, let's go to verse 16, Matthew 20, verse 16. It says, and they sent out unto him their disciples with their rhodian, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teaches the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. So they come in real smooth setting it up. and a lot of times people will smile in your face.
Yeah.
And tell all these great things about you, but the whole time they got a knife trying to stab you in your back. And that's just the way it is, you know. So you got to always go in knowing that God's truly goodness and mercy will follow you if God's got your back, and stand on the word. And so here's the setup in verse 17. It says, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And you have to, sometimes you can get emotional, sometimes you get carried away, and you could say what thus said, what you think.
Right,
but,
out of your
Right, out of your frustration. And a lot of times, and I find this in church meetings and in gatherings, that you have to be prepared. You have to be very careful what you say. Because people sometimes will try to throw stuff out there to try to bait you. Sometimes people before the church meeting, they'll have pre-meetings and they'll plot and scheme, and they'll come up with all kinds of stuff out of left field, like you say. And so you have to be like Jesus in verse 18. He said, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrite? In other words, let's look what it says in the NIV. It says, but Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? And and so a lot of times people will try to trap you, but try to use the word, and a lot of times they'll try to take the word out of context. And you have to be careful to recognize where they're trying to do, what they're trying to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And you have to stay true to the word and stay basic to the word. So what your actions are and what you do is not of the flesh and not of yourself, but of the word of God, and recognize the attack. And that's one of the biggest things in ministry, is to keep your emotions and what thus say you in check, so you can recognize the attack of the enemy. And when you recognize the attack of the enemy, Sheila G., what happens is you can speak clearly to the situation, because you're not speaking based upon what the flesh says, but you're speaking based upon what the Spirit of God says. And that's where a lot of us get in trouble, is when we yield to that flesh in that particular moment, instead of staying focused on the Word of God, recognizing that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places, against wickedness in darkness, and the rulers of darkness. And so we have to understand this is what's coming to divide us, to split us, to come to have us come against each other. When we come against each other, then we're not carrying out the word of God. And so here Jesus, he simply perceived their wickedness. In the NIV it says, Jesus, knowing the evil intent, and then speak clearly what thus said the Lord. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know what you were saying as far as not wrestling against flesh and blood, that's not only in the church as well, because we have to be on guard and be prepared for the enemy, not just when we're in the church building or dealing with church people, but recognize, because we're trying to walk in Christ 24/7, Satan is going to use people at work. He's going to use your children.
Yep.
Let you have a high time in church on a Sunday and have a great one time. Come home, then somebody's going to get on your nerves at home, or you're going to go to work and the enemy's going to attack you there. And then that's why we have to, in all cases, not yield to our emotions. You know, it can't be a thing, like you said, you can't just be on, definitely be on guard in church, but that is something that we have to have 24/7, because Satan is sitting there. Oh, I was just talking to Pastor a few minutes ago, because last night he was on a high. We had a great prayer. He was talking about the goodness of the Lord and how he watched the war room. He was just fired up talking about the goodness of the Lord. And Satan was like, I know how to down. Mm-hmm. And then something happened, and then that same high came back down because Satan attacked the emotions. But then here we are back in Bible study, and then that joy is coming back up again. And that's why we have to. Because he will do it. He's not going to, Satan's not going to do it direct.
Uh-uh.
He's going to do a rope-a-dope. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the Jesus in you to recognize, like Jesus said, that, you're trying to be sweet, you're trying to be nice, but I know you got a knife behind your back.
Amen.
But we have to do that with our spiritual eye, because we can't do that with our emotions, because people will see people acting a certain way and not realize that it's not the person. It's the enemy that's caught trying to get you to see the circumstance or something bad to bring you down to get your focus off of God.
Amen. Amen. And that's the primary thing about the enemy is he understands that salvation comes from God and it's free. And once we're saved, we are sealed until the day of redemption. But his focus is he wants to come in for those who are saved and sow misery in the believer's life so
that's
that
they don't live
the abundant life. Christ said, I came to seek that they may have life and that they may have that life more abundantly. But too many times you have Christians that are living miserably because of the influence of the enemy. And a lot of times in churches can be the most miserable people in the world. They're supposed to have this abundant life, but because they don't perceive, as the King James says, they don't perceive the wickedness of the enemy that's trying to influence us to not be followers of Christ, but be followers of the enemy. In other words, at one time our daddy was Satan, and we followed him, and now he's jealous that we're following Christ and trying to sway us back, even though we're saved, to follow Christ. And people fall to that tactic. But let's jump down to verse 19. And when Jesus called them, he said, "Why tempt ye hypocrites?" And in other words, they're trying to catch Jesus in a catch 22, where he says, you know, is it okay to give this to Caesar? Why are we Jews giving money to Caesar? Why are we trying to play to Caesar and play to God? And Jesus called them a hypocrite because they were doing the same thing. They were using the authority that they had to get Caesar to come against the Jewish people at that time. So it wasn't a thing of them being serious about, okay, we're just going to be for the Jews and God's people, is they were trying to play both sides of the fence. They said, well, we'll play this side for the Jews, sort of like the politicians today. You go to District Heights and you say one thing. You go to Forestville and say one thing. You go to Montgomery County and say one thing. You go to Prince George's County and say one thing. You go to this county. In other words, they weren't true to who they were. It was like wherever they were, that's who they wanted to be, sort of like a chameleon. And so they're trying to nail Jesus down to, okay, are you for the Jews or are you not for the Jews? And what Jesus is telling them is there's an order, and the natural order, you follow the natural order. And so they're trying to pin him, are you going to be for Caesar or are you going to be for the Jews? Sort of like this, okay, well, if you give tribute money, then you're not for the Jews. You're lifting up Caesar, not lifting up God. And so Jesus saw how they were trying to make this divide to say, okay, Jesus was for the Romans and not for the Jews. And so, therefore, you shouldn't follow Jesus because he's for Caesar and he's supporting Caesar. Sort of like these politicians now. These politicians speak out of both sides of their mouth. And they're hypocrites, but if you look at Jesus said, let me just, you know, break y'all off a piece of this wisdom of God, and he says, show me the tribute money. In verse 19, in the NIV it says, he showed me the coin used for paying the tax. And so what he says, and they brought it unto him in verse 19, and he said unto them, who is the image and the superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. In other words, Jesus said, we don't need to complicate this thing. And so he says, then said unto him, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. So basically, the trap that they tried to get him into is to try to choose one over the other. And God said, we don't have to. Jesus said, we don't have to pick one over the other. But the proper order is, if this has Caesar on it, then give that to Caesar. But the things of God, give to God. In other words, don't try to get me in this trap of trying to say, okay, I'm for Caesar or I'm from God. In other words, I know that this is necessary for Caesar and what the Roman government has going on. And there's other things that are necessary for the kingdom of God going on. So one is not going to get me in trouble. In other words, I know how to live in this world, but I don't have to be of this world. And that's the thing of Christians. We live in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We can't become so religious that we can't live in this world. We have to pay taxes. We have to go to work. We have to do what our federal and state and local government and municipalities do. So there's not a thing where we just can't say we're not going to do that because of our belief or our religion, but we have to understand that we have to live in this world and we have to abide by these laws. And this is what Jesus was saying. But they tried to trip him up, and he just made it plain and clear. Don't you hypocrites. Don't. I'm not going to be like you guys and try to play one against the other. But I'm going to render to the one what they are supposed to have, and I'm going to render to God what he's supposed to have. Sheila G.
Amen. And I was going to use the analogy of today, but you had already said it, was that just like today, we still have to go to work, and we still have to put that time in to be able to survive and do what we need to do. But even at that, God only asked for one-tenth.
Hello.
So, and he says, keep the 90%.
Amen.
So, you know, we can't become so religious, but then we can't go too far in that we make work our God. You know, and that's what he means by render unto God what is God too. When I look at that, is that you do the things that you have to do as far as working, paying taxes, but you don't put that before God. God is first. And then you put everything else in order.
Right. And that's what Dr. G is when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. You got to have the perspective and not get swayed one thing over the other. Sometimes people become so religious that they're no earthly good and vice versa. And you have to learn how to render unto Caesar what is Caesar and render unto God what is God. And not complicated and go, you know, one way too far, one way the other way too far. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that? Then we're going to go to the caller.
And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, the Lord knows exactly what he wants. And as Sheila G and you both have said, you know, you render unto Caesar's what. You know, we may not like going to work. We may not like paying federal taxes. And then if we don't give Uncle Sam enough, then we got to pay at the end of the year or whenever. But that's a part of in this society and living in this world. But likewise, you know, what is God? You've got to give God his. And if we understand that, you know, but too often people, they want to, they'll go all the way to the left and leave God out until something happens. Mm-hmm. We got to pull back from that. It doesn't work like that. You've got to give God his and understand that the Lord is still the one who is in total control. And we'll him. And like Sheila G was saying, you know, I've learned that whole thing about tithing that you give God his first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He will take care of the tax man and every other kind of man coming along. That's that to the point where he'll give you back what you need, and if you're doing it faithfully, you'll have more than enough.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so when in this verse 22, we're going to go to the caller. in verse 22, after he made this statement, in verse 22, it says, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And if you look at the NIV, it says, when they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went their way. And so what happens is when you stand on the word of God and use the wisdom of God, what happens is basically people will have to close their mouth and have to leave that thing alone. And that's why it's so important for us to have Bible study, Sunday school, study for yourself, because this way you're not using what thus say, you're using the word of God. And so when you speak the word of God with clarity and boldness and faith, what happens is that situation, the word of God is powerful all by itself. They will have to be quiet. The enemy, the followers of the enemy will have to be quiet because the word of God is so powerful that they won't be able to stand or say anything. And they left him and went their way. But we have to rely on that word of God. That word of God is the final authority, and I said the final authority. And when you stand on the final authority, it is so powerful that people will be like, man, well, they didn't say what I wanted them to say. I couldn't catch them. This is amazing what the word of God says. I think I need to just kind of leave out of here. And a lot of times what people don't understand is when you're in ministry and you stand on the word of God is either going to draw them or it's either going to chase them away.
That's
right. And so a lot of times as a leader, and I find this in ministry, when you're standing on the word of God, people are always trying to find something wrong, always trying
to
find something that's out of order. And if you keep standing on the word of God, they'll be like, I couldn't catch them with this. I couldn't catch them in that. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this. And after all these years, they're still standing on the word of God. And what happens is they get frustrated, and they'll come over any kind of thing that's trying to come against the word of God. And they say, well, they're going to stand on the word of God. I got to get out of here because this word is too hot for me. It's too heated for me, and I'm going to have to leave this ministry alone because they're standing on the word of God. Sheila G, we're going to go to the caller.
Amen. Well, you know, when you said that, I was just thinking about you resist the devil, he will flee.
Yes, he will.
And that's basically it in a nutshell. And the best way to resist the devil is to throw the word at him.
Amen.
And you throw the word at him in whatever form he's coming in, whether it's a person, whether it's a situation, he has to back off.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to start off with the question. The word of God, have you seen the word of God work in your life? How have you seen the word of God work in your life? We got a caller, last four digits, 1487. 1487, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alice.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I've seen the word of God work in my life through a number of situations. And what I've learned to do now is to just don't feed into it. You know, if you don't feed into it, it won't grow because you know who it is and you recognize that that's him. And he's going to come at you through your children, your church, your job, any kind of way he can come at you.
Amen.
And the word of God is going to prevail over everything because God has taught us how to recognize, read them scriptures. It's all plain for us to do. All we got to do is live it. You know, you stand down. You know, you humble yourself so you stand down, and you don't have to be bothered with that because you know what it is and you know who it is.
Amen.
And once we learn how to recognize him, we can get through a lot of situations in our life.
And
I believe that it's been proven to me. I've done it.
Amen.
And I'm going to continue to do it because I know which way I'm going. I know who I am now, and I know whose I am. And ain't no stopping me. Ain't nobody going to stop me. I'm not going to allow them to. So that's my point on that. And thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the next caller, last four digits, 1741, 1741. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I've seen the Word of God work in my life when I'm obedient to the Word. And like the sister said before me, as we grow in the Holy Spirit and ask God to let the Holy Spirit take full control of our life, sometimes we realize we don't have to respond to what people are thinking or saying or what even they do to us, because we know that in God's time, He's going to handle it. And sometimes we do have to address the issue that comes up, but when we do it, we pray over it and ask God, give me the words to say and let me see it with love. And once we try to do it in love, then, you know, it's more effective. Sometimes when we're in a state of anger and we speak to people, we overdo it. And we say words that we can't take back, or either we do things that we can't take, you know, we can't undo. And so the whole thing is we just have to keep praying every day, Lord, just let your Holy Spirit guide me, lead me, control me, so I won't lose my witness or my testimony. Because every time we do that, we fall back. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's hard for us to be a witness for somebody else, and because the enemy is always there trying to beat us up. And so that's why we have to constantly ask God, please control my mouth, control my tongue.
I know that's right.
Sometimes when we don't speak, people think that we are meek, we are scared or fearful, but sometimes we just have to be still and let the Lord fight our battles.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411, 1411.
Amen. Could you, I think I had the question. I just want to make sure I understand it. What was the question again?
What have you, how have you seen the Word of God work in your life?
Okay. Good evening, everybody. This is our brother Brandon. I've seen it, and it's so crazy that, you know, I'm saying this because I used to hear old people say it. My mom said it all the time, and I've seen it because I've tried it, you know, and I really truly understand it now. Yeah, because, and it's crazy. I thought I'd never see it. I can tell my mom when I get on the phone with her, I actually said that phrase that I used to hear all the old people say, you know, I'm trying for yourself, because I realized that, you know, at an early age, it's crazy, man. I swear, it's crazy. We reached another milestone, but at an early age, I always went to church. I always knew I could quote scripture. I knew the books of the Bible. I knew all this stuff. But I found when I kept beating my head against the wall was saying, well, why am I having these problems? I'm in church. I know the Word of God. Then it hit me. I'm not applying the Word of God to my problems, to situations, to my life. And that's when I realized that doors and opportunities and certain people, you know, started, you know, being a part of my life started having value. And some folks I had to cut off, but I didn't realize none of that until I actually started applying the Word of God to my life. I'll be the first to tell you, Satan can quote scripture. I know tons of people that don't have your best interest that can quote scripture and know the words of the Bible and tell you where you can find things. But guess what? But when you're faced with those real life situations where it's dealing with people, financial problems, money, I know my brother said it a while ago, any problems you have, you can find a solution for it in the Bible. And man has been around for ages and thousands of years, and the same problems, core value problems that we have now, people had hundreds of years ago. Yeah, you have technology, different things, but guess what? Back then, people had problems with their family, problems with money, problems with on the job, whatever jobs they work, you know, hundreds of years ago. So the problems always existed, but the answers always remain in the Bible. But, it, you know, to me, it took more than just going to church every Sunday or, you know, reading the Bible or being able to quote this or quote that, but really truly understanding what is it that I'm reading? What is it that God wants me to get from this? What does God want me to get from the message that's being preached so that way I can take it outside of the walls of the church and apply it to my life? And that's when I realized that the application of God's word, the application of the scriptures, the songs that we sing, you're not just singing words. Those words actually resonate and have meaning and can actually help you out, but they can only help you out if you allow yourself to be open and receptive to it, so then you can apply it. So that's really how I've seen it happen in my life when I've started to apply the Word of God, because scriptures years ago have a totally different meaning to me then than they do right now. And I think that's because I'm understanding it now. I have real life situations to say, you know what? I know what that means now because I've been there. I've felt that. But as a kid growing up, we don't have responsibilities. We don't go through anything. We just argue with our parents, go to school. That's all you're told. But as you continue to grow and you get older and you get out of school and you start dealing with people, you start developing your own understanding, really trying to come into your own, that's when you start to realize, like, wow, you know, I know what the preacher was talking about on Sunday when they say having problems on your job and problems with this and that, because now it starts to resonate with you. But truly, I've really found a change in my life, and also my friends and people I know who are in the Lord. Once we actually started applying God's word to our daily lives, that's when we realized how powerful the word of God is. And it's not just one application. We're always learning, always trying to go, always trying to dive deeper, which is why I appreciate what you guys do. And I know we always have a lot, but, you know, I really want to thank you guys so much for what you guys do, because being able to dive in deeper helps you understand it more and really fully grasp it. Because guess what? Now I'm well-versed in it. So guess what? If I see somebody going through something we've talked about here or you guys have discussed, I'm well-versed now enough that I can go help somebody out and plant that seed to somebody else. Because even the ministry that you guys have now goes beyond this phone call. When we hang up at 9 o'clock at night, the people that call in and listen in, we're supposed to take something from it and spread that to people that we know, love, and care about, and apply those to situations as well. So, you know, I truly thank you guys for it. But for me, I've known how effective God's word has been once I begin to apply what I've learned to my everyday life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
All of the responses have been great, and they are on the money when it comes to how have you seen the word of God work in your life. And when you are dedicated to the Lord and he has led your life and he's opened your eye to see life the way it is, where I give a good example. My sister is very sick, and we were in the doctor's office, and the PA asked her some questions, and she said, the Holy Spirit, and before she could finish it, the PA said, you're Catholics. I said, no, we're Catholic Baptists. I said, that's a joke, but we are Baptists. She said, well, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Definitely. I'm saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
Amen.
And she went on to talk about Mary. I said, that was Jesus' mother. She said, well, we worship Mary. I said, well, I worship my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me. And when I finished with her, she forgot about she was a Catholic. And that's what I know, what we're doing here tonight, exchanging God's word to benefit all of us.
Amen.
This is where you grow. This is where you know his word. And on the spot, you can defend him and what you believe in if you're a believer.
Amen.
We are equipped to live a life of Christ. And when you find in the church people scattering away, they're scattering away because they don't want to live that life. It's too stringent.
Right.
You got to be in the house of the Lord. Live the life that he says is in this book. When you take on and say, I am a believer, John 3:16, you have taken over a new creature. He has made a new creature out of you.
That's right.
And when you live it each and every day, the young people and the old people, you're never too old. Because
no,
I find myself going to Minister Reverend Lindsay, going back to Pastor, am I doing this right? Am I saying this right? I want to be right. I don't want to be somewhere looking stupid, saying I'm a Christian and doing it all wrong.
I know that's right.
Humble your heart. And when you can humble your heart, you know God's there.
That's right.
When you've lived by the Spirit, you know God's there. And I've had so many people to say, walk up to me, don't even know me, and say, you're a Christian, you're this, you're that. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to say, yes, I am. I try so hard, God knows, I try so hard to do the right things.
Amen.
To study His Word, to be approved by Him. Not by man, because man ain't going to think nothing of you, regardless what you do, what
I know
do.
That's right.
You can never please Him. But you're always seeking to make things better for others, for yourself, for your family, your friends. If you can help somebody, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. That's why I know He's all I've got left in this world. I have family. I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad been gone a long time, but they left a foundation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Undescribable.
Amen.
Undescribable. You might fall down, but you get back up. And we're in that process right now in our church. We might fall down,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to get there because we know who's going to lead us there.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
The Spirit is there.
That's right.
It was so prevalent. The other Saturday at the women's conference, oh, my God.
All right.
Amen.
That's when you know He is who He is. And I just enjoy coming here. I thank you all the time for what you've done for me. And to hear somebody stand up in the church and say that, and you've pastors taught and taught and taught us. I was going over some notes and ran across the temple. And how it was structured.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that. We did the whole book of Revelation. And what's going on in this world today, we should not be even thinking about it because it's right here in this word. And
Amen.
The thing about it, it's going to get worse.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to get worse. If Revelation don't scare you, you'll never be scared. You will never be afraid. Because all things are possible when you don't follow Christ. And this chapter 22, it stuck to me.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck to me. And it's the way it was taught last Thursday. And I told Pastor about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and I am going to take it on personally to do whatever it takes. And I know if the Holy Spirit leads me, we're going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen.
We are going to be all right. I have no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt. And you don't let anything or anybody get in your way when He leads you.
Amen.
Down that path of righteousness to serve Him and do for Him and to build His kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
He's opening the door. He's waiting for us to do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And you can do that from your heart and love each and every person on this earth, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. He's going to open that door. And He's looking for you to come through, but come through right.
Amen.
This scripture is so powerful.
Amen.
We that are Christians and working in the church. When you work in the church, it's difficult. But He makes it easy. He makes it easy if you follow His will.
That's it.
He makes it easy. And I know He's in my life. My life is just not the same no more. My sister tell me. My little nephews, they tell me in Atlanta, don't get out by starting.
I know that's right.
When they see Aunt Ma come in the house, everybody straighten it up. That's just like when kids years ago, you know, he's done something, and the parents come in the room, everything get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they're going to have to do what's right.
Amen.
You don't have to open your mouth. God does it for you. And I thank you guys. I'm not going to call you guys. But that's all right, too. You know what I mean.
That's all right. We know.
Thank
we
you
know.
So much. You have to convert sometimes because you're dealing with young people.
Oh, that's all right.
and mm-hmm. and they speak that little language, but it's still okay.
Yes.
It's still okay. It's still okay. You know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And I love you. I love all you. I love all you on this line, and you all know it. I don't have to even tell you. Anything I can do, whatever I can do, as far as doing God's work, count me in. I don't want to be left out.
Amen.
I don't want to be left out. And that's how I know he lives in me every day. Every day. And I ask you all's prayers for my sister Becky when she goes to surgery on Monday.
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our last caller. Last caller, last digits, 9772. You're on air, 9772.
Well, good evening. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm able to make it this Thursday. Last Thursday.
Amen.
I had God in my life. God was with Amen. Me all the way. You said, how you see God in your life? I see God every day in my life. Every morning I get on my knees and get on my. But last Thursday I saw the devil trying to get rid of it. Two of the Amen. Good girls of God had a hand on our children, and he held her hands, and I saw death coming all through us, and I just could not see. And he turned it around and said, "Hold my hand, and I'm coming on through." And got out there, and I had to see the light, anything. It didn't take where the devil was trying to take us, but he made a lie out of him.
Amen.
Yes, I'm here today. I wasn't here last Thursday, but I'm here today.
Amen.
Could have been gone. And I saw death, and it said, how you have God in your life, I got it all the way. Every day of my life, I stood on my knees and said, God, bring me back home in safety and give me the best of my destiny that I can get home on. And he brings me right on back home.
Amen.
I know I'm on the right track. I can't even think to have half the things I could think him on. The way I saw death last Thursday. I can't explain it to you. I saw so much of things. But thankful that I'm here to praise with you and tonight. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Just know that God is able. I know that our brother Lee and Pop Richardson, they were in a car accident on last Thursday night trying to get the Bible study. But God helped them through. And they know that God is still powerful. Know that he's going to be with all of us through surgery with Becky and whatever else we stand in need of. God is not slack concerning his word. And we stand on his word, Sheila G, Dr. G, you know that God will bring us through. And by his stripes we are healed, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And the Bible teaches that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. And we just thank God that through maturity and everyone's been a blessing, so it's such a blessing on the Bible study line. We just like to thank you all for your words of encouragement that we will continue to be found doing what thus said the Lord. So I'm going to ask Dr. G if you have your final comments and close us out in prayer.
Well, I'll just say this, that ministry is not easy. But the one thing that we do have to help us along is the word. And if we would just stand on that word, the Lord revealed to me yesterday, because I've had so many people to get mad with me. We talked about those little cliques, and when you don't go along with what they want, you know, they'll get mad, send you emails, I'm leaving the church, I'm taking a whatever. And, you know, it takes a part of you out of you, but, you know, the Lord has to come back in and remind you that the church is not ours, it's his.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to do what that Bible teaches us. Go ye in all highways, teaching and preaching Christ. And when he's ready, because everyone is going to have to give an account to the Lord themselves. Our job is just to stand strong. The Lord never said it was going to be easy, and God knows that. But through it all, when you get to a point in your life where you know that you know that you know, then you can see the hand of God working in your life, and you can really appreciate being in Christ and knowing that everything that that Bible teaches is true.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, all we can do is to continue to teach, continue to stand on that word, even when folk don't want to hear it. We have to continue to give it to them. And that's something that I'm learning, and I've learned, and I continue to get it now. I told the Lord yesterday, all right, Lord, I got you. I understand. And it's not about us. We have to step away from our emotions and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, because this thing is bigger than what we think or what we might feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray for it, not only Becky and the others, but we also just found out that a dear friend of mine, Pastor Lonzo Hart, passed away, and we went to school together. And all of everything that's going on in our society right now, that's the enemy trying to divide and conquer. But if we stand on that word, we give way to it, because God doesn't have to convince anybody. He will reveal himself if.
Yes, he will.
So with that, I'm going to ask that everyone would just bow their heads and close their eyes. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you, O Lord. We thank you for being real. Thank you, Lord, for this word being that light unto our feet. Now, Lord, help us. Give us a desire that we want to continue to study that word. Lord, help the three of us to continue that we want to teach it. And, Father, I pray that you just do things so beautiful, and the way that you're doing, those that don't call in, they don't know what they're missing. But the ones that do call in, they're being fed, they're being blessed. And Father, we thank you for those. I'm praying now, Lord, for Becky. I pray that her surgery would go in the way that you would want. Father, I pray that you would guide the doctor's hands. And Lord, through everything we have to go through in life, I'm praying that you would put your loving arms around us and help us to be about work for you. Father, we don't know the day nor the hour when old man death is going to come. But Lord, until that day does come, we want to continue to stand on this word. And Father, I'm praying that while we're standing, that you would give us determination that nothing and no one shall separate us from the love of God. Help us to be committed and determined that we're going to continue to go to the very end. Father, we praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for what has been taught. And Lord, just as Jesus did, help us to be strong in our faith and to stand on that word. And Lord, when the emotions do come, let us go back to the word, and folk will just turn away and walk away. Lord, we claim the victory right now. Whatever your will is for tomorrow, we pray that you'll give it to us. And then come Sunday, allow us to gather at our places of worship.
Yes.
What we know how to do best is to lift you up in praise. Father, we thank you. We ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for this Thursday night. Prayer for we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
God bless.